You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Today I'd like to talk about the fallout from Obamacare. There's a lot of talk about how many people are covered, have insurance, or getting subsidies from the government to buy an unaffordable product. But not a lot of time is spent on the actual infrastructure of our healthcare system. You know, the backbone is medical device companies, hospitals, and especially community-based and rural hospitals who serve an underserved community, usually a community under financial stress, who really needs medical services. And the fact that a lot of people are now having to drive sometimes hundreds of miles to get care is being exacerbated by Obamacare. It started under Obamacare. When it first got passed, there was this onslaught of closures, of consolidations, and as I reported before, the hospital systems have become too big to fail, literally Pac-Manning everything in their path and becoming systems where even the private doctors who have sold their practices into the system are part of their tentacles. Now we're seeing another fallout that's about to become widespread. And there's a report that came out on a website called ZeroHedge.com, and it was entitled Obamacare Set to Drive New Wave of Hospital Bankruptcies. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg of hospitals getting the rug pulled out from underneath them further. I've talked to you, Dave, in the past about how the government has a pot of money for hospitals to access to pay for people who don't have insurance. Well, under the Affordable Care Act, that safety net is going to be pulled away with the mindset that Congress considered Obamacare to be the end-all, be-all, and there was a feeling that because of Obamacare, everybody would buy insurance and there would be no people no longer covered or going without health insurance. And there was a poison pill in Obamacare to pull back and rescind the subsidies paid to hospitals for indigent patients. That is about to take effect. I think they've kicked the football down the road a few times where they've delayed it, but it's now about to go into effect in full force, which will mean that hospitals across the country will no longer have a secondary pot of money that the government's been paying them. And let's put it a different way. Hospitals have been crying poor, jacking up the price on everybody else because they were saying that it was going to cover the non-insured, the indigent, when in actuality they were getting money from the government the whole time to cover the indigent. So basically double-dipping, double-billing, and robbing people who did have health insurance coverage. Now that safety net's going to be pulled away, and what we're going to be left with are hospitals who are going to have to close. And these aren't the big, city hospitals that have buku money, getting research grants money, all that sort of thing. It's going to be the ones that are actually helping the people who need the help, the rural hospitals, the hospitals and communities that aren't, who are financially strapped. And that's going to further put strain on a system. I think even the doctors in these hospital systems have finally reached the breaking point where they're compensation, even though they're hospital employed, they're working well beyond what they're compensated, and they're starting to balk as well. So the system has been gamed. It's been rigged to squeeze the juice out of both the doctor and the patient, and now it's coming to an end. And what are we going to be left with? Where are these people going to go if they get into a car accident, or they have cancer, or they have congestive heart failure, and they don't have the means to travel to a big city hospital? What's going to happen to these guys? And nobody thinks about the long-term effect. They just want an instant gratification and to see that they are winning or to change the system so they can have a socialized medical system at all costs. And this is what we're going to, we reap what we sow on this. And those folks who said that Obamacare was going to help people who were poor and people who didn't have access obviously didn't read the bill or didn't know what they were talking about or couldn't give a darn about the outcome. And I thought people should know this because this is a bigger picture. We're seeing this with Amazon now. I've never seen one company. I thought Google was bad, but Amazon, it takes it to a whole new level. They're encroaching into pharmaceuticals, groceries. They're everywhere. And they're not just getting regular customers. The government is subsidizing them. About $1.40 of every package that's shipped by Amazon is paid for by us, the taxpayer. Why does a billion or trillion dollar, whatever they are, company, need to have subsidies to mail the packages? It's absolutely outrageous. They're getting a leg up on everybody else. And the brick and mortar companies are the ones that are real companies on the internet, small mom and pops, are having to compete against this, and they can't. So this is fascism 101, where the government public-private partnership is actually destroying free competition. And we need to stand up and know about it and make conscious choices, because if we don't, we're only going to have one game left in town. You've seen it with the banks, right? You've seen it with hospitals now and the healthcare system. You've seen it for a long time in big business, in media, in newspapers. Everything's doing the same thing, where they're consolidating, where there's one parent company owning all these other fronts. But really, it's just a few players running the game. What do you think about that, Dave?
You caught me off guard, as a matter of fact. Didn't
hear me,
Dave? You caught me off guard with that. What do I think? Quite frankly, until we wake up and start raising Cain as patients, and there are some organizations that are working towards advocacy of patient care and a relationship with doctors, until we wake up and start pushing, it's just going to get deeper and deeper. And I just came back from Europe, and I asked some of the people in England what they think of their socialized medicine, and this is where we're headed. If things were to work out with Pelosi to get her way or whatever, and Schumer, but they hate it. I say they hate it. The biggest response is, well, we've learned to accept it. You know,
that's
once
not
you,
a wave.
Yeah, once you accept something, then you're enslaved to whatever you've accepted, in my opinion. And that's where we're headed with this. And it's crazy.
Well, it's interesting. It's been painted and under the guise of, you know, medical services are a right. You're supposed to give whatever the patient asks for. It was just a ploy to get people sucked into the system, because everybody wants a freebie. Everybody wants a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't understand is that you get what you pay for. This is not a system where doctors are going to be able to give you everything you want. They are actually being held hostage by a system of regulations, of new rules that come out daily from the CMS, Medicaid, Medicare. The insurance companies have run amok, where they're literally, and I've said it before, and I'm serious, they're practicing medicine. They are deciding basically who lives and dies, and there's no consequence for their decisions that they make. How can something like a bone marrow transplant, which has been around forever, be considered experimental? And that's what they're doing. They're making up guidelines that are internal guidelines that have completely divorced from medical societies, from what doctors who are actually taking care of patients recommend. That's the problem. And then you have this whole cadre of employed physicians within these insurance companies that are there as gatekeepers without consequence. So they're not, you present your case, you give literature, you give documentation, you give your office note. I mean, this is a whole tome that goes up to them. If they read it, I'm not even sure they read it, to tell you the truth. They'll spout their regulations within their particular insurance plan, and that supersedes medical care. It supersedes doctors' judgment. It supersedes the standard of care as driven by the specialty society. How on earth can anybody get away with that? But it makes perfect sense, because the people who are making these rules and laws are being paid by lobbyists associated with these companies. There's no reason to have the top 10 lobby groups be healthcare related and then come up with Obamacare. I don't care who you are. If you are for Obamacare, for socialized medicine, you should have a care and a question mark as to why these people have such power up there. They don't care about you and your health. They care about accessing a system and controlling it from dollar one. Now, there's a conflict of interest by definition from the get-go. If an insurance company's whole goal is to collect a premium, make money, and make profit based on denial of care, they only make money if they don't pay out for the medical condition. They want to collect the money and not pay it. We're in a position right now in our office where we are, I think that the insurance company is committing fraud. They have got back on a panel back in April, or so we thought. We started submitting claims. Nothing. You know, first of all, we heard nothing from them except an email saying that we were back on. So we're submitting claims right along. Everything gets denied. After multiple calls, I finally threatened to go to the insurance commissioner, and then we get a reply from the insurance company. Oh, we made a mistake. We had the wrong NPI number. It was like a radiologist, but not me. And so we had to resubmit our application. And it took a month to get back on the electronic system so that everybody would know when claims were submitted that we were in network. Okay, we waited a month. We're still not right, because the different pods of this particular insurance company don't talk to anybody, because they've outsourced their application process. So this is a joke, right? So they've been collecting premiums from these patients. They've been seeing doctors, me included, especially me, because I don't really have to deal with anybody else. And I'm giving free medical care. They're paying for it. The insurance company's pocketing the money. That's outrageous. And by the way, we're going through the system, right? So we're getting pre-certifications for things. We're talking with the insurance company. They're giving us pre-cert numbers, but they're denying it after the fact because of, quote, poor communication. That's outrageous. This goes on throughout the country every day. Patients need to know this, because when your doctor sends you a bill and you're not sure why it's going on, I suggest you call your insurance company. It's a scam, and they have ultimate power in this. And they're in a position now of literally using things like Amazon as, to purchase, God forbid, you want Amazon involved with distributing pharmaceuticals. You know, where does it stop? You're controlling everything. Everything's a system. You're keeping the food industry in business by not cleaning up the food supply, and that which is making people sick. And magically, you lower the, what constitutes a healthy parameter. Now they've lowered the parameter for cholesterol, I think, again. Oh, no, high blood pressure. So now everybody, half of the country now is hypertensive. What do you think is going to happen there, Dave? They're going to recommend that everybody starts, who's got the numbers, to start a medication. And where are you going to get that medication from?
Amazon.
It's like a pipeline. You know, they make you sick, and then they have the magic, it's an order out of chaos. They have the magic pill for you, or the specific hospital you should go to for specialty care. I'm disgusted, and it's time for it to stop.
Well, like I said, until people wake up and start raising Canada, you said a minute ago, everybody wants something for nothing. Well, was the person that said you don't get nothing in life is free? There's a price to pay. And, if I have a choice, I'd rather have good medical care by experts, and I'll pay for it, as opposed to getting it free from your local witch doctor or something,
Or better yet, the urgent care in Walmart.
Yeah.
That's another conflict of interest. You've got, supposed medical providers up in there doing God knows what. I've seen so many people who've gone to urgent care, been misdiagnosed, given wrong medication, and now are sitting in my office with a problem that's gone on longer than it should. It should never be the standard of care. I know we have to take a break. Let's do that and come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can, in some cases, stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we were talking about, you know, the consequences of having quote-unquote convenience. If you have a nurse that is employed by a pharmacy chain and they're seeing patients, you know, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. Once a viral infection becomes a reason to treat with an antibiotic, where do you go? Like, as you get your milk and whatever you're getting, you're going right to their pharmacy and you're buying the prescription from them. That's a kickback. You know, we can't do that in medicine. It's called the Stark Law, where if you own a radiology center, or you own an urgent care, or you own an outpatient surgery center or something, you can't self-refer. That's considered to be a kickback. You really have to do a lot of jump through a lot of hoops to make sure that if a patient gets referred to anything that you have an interest in, that it's disclosed and it's frowned upon. That's one of the reasons that the hospitals have been able to take over independent surgery centers, independent labs, et cetera, because of the Stark Law. Why doesn't that apply to big business? That's my question. I would love to know that. Then you have the PBMs, you know, these pharmacy benefit management companies, which are absolute kickbacks on steroids, this whole system built, rigged on ripping people off, jacking up the price, getting money skimming money off the top and raising the price that's of something that's a fraction of what it costs at the beginning. These guys don't do anything but cut deals with each other. You know, so if we get an example, and I'm going to have a lot of people on my show in the coming months, which are really going to speak to all of these things that we're speaking about today in great detail. And you're going to learn from the bottom up exactly how the system is broken and the fact that they've used patient dissatisfaction to double down on the very things that are causing everybody to pay more while they tell you that they love you and they're helping you. They could care less. It's not about socialized medicine. It's about the gravy train, which they want to keep going and actually institutionalize and and make it such that there will be no competition, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. If they have their way, it's not just socialized medicine, Dave. It's getting rid of any private practice physician, any integrative medicine or holistic physician, any tract that's going to get somebody off of a prescription drug and out of a hospital system. That's their goal. You know, they want people on something from cradle to grave, something to keep you from getting blood pressure, do pre-diabetes, pre-cholesterol treatments, you know, putting you on medications to make you happy. They wanted to put stuff in the blood supply, I'm sorry, in the water supply, like Lipitor and other medications, to pre-treat people. This is the kind of system that we're dealing with. These people are not normal. It's not about freedom of choice. It's not about really educating the patient about their options. They don't want you to have an option. It's one size fits all, and it's command and control. Nobody's going to want to be in a system like that. If that's what free means, you should run to the far, as far away from it as you can possibly run. And the people who are sitting there telling you you're bad for questioning it, if it's so awesome, why don't they join the system? They can have that system all they want, and they can have it. They can join it and let everybody else who don't want to live like that have a choice. But that's not what our society is really being pushed towards, is it? It's about do what you're told, don't question it, and if you do, there's going to be some bad consequence to pay. Someone's going to come after you, or someone's going to boycott you, or somebody's going to, you know, take a physically harm you. This is the system that we're dealing with. It's being empowered by us, people who are decent, upstanding citizens who don't want to make a fuss. We don't start speaking up. The system's going to run over us, and there will be no choice. And it's not very far from doing that, quite frankly. The medical education system has changed. The scope of practice of various healthcare providers in the system have changed. The nurses are now being trained, and even those that don't want to. And there's been a lot of nurses who left the profession because they felt that they were being asked to expand their scope of practice, but they didn't feel comfortable with it. Doctor of nursing does not equal, and it's not the same thing as doctor of medicine. People need to understand that. It's not the same training. It's not the same mindset. It's a completely different ballgame. When we all do our jobs and we're all at the top of our game and working together, that's when the system works. When you start to piecemeal it and give people more responsibility and encroach into areas that they really don't know about, that's when you get into trouble and everything costs more. And for the most important thing, it's a patient cost. Misdiagnoses, treatments you don't need, extra labs, CT scans that shouldn't be ordered, delayed diagnoses, and everything coming down to it's more money out of the patient's pocket. That's the system. That's the bad part of the system. You may have convenience with a telemedicine or, you know, doing everything online, but unless someone can actually look in your face, touch you, and actually do a complete physical with you, you're really not getting good standard of care. While they tell you it's the same, it's absolutely not.
Wouldn't you say it's true that if I control your health, I control your life? If I control your life, then I'm going to tell you what to do up and down the gambit of what you can read, what library you mm-hmm. can go to, what books you can buy, what meals you can eat. You've said it over and over. It's a matter of control, and the government wants
absolutely.
To control you.
It's pervaded the society. I mean, look at all the stuff going on with surveillance and cameras going up and your phone watching you. There's no way on earth I would ever get that iPhone X. Never happening. I mean, granted, facial recognition is, God forbid, it's everywhere. Welcome to
we were almost going to be doing this show from my jail cell, as they wouldn't let me back into the United States.
Why? What happened?
Well, you know, when you put your passport in and they scan the picture and your stuff on your passport, and then they take a picture of you?
Yeah.
Well, I had grown a beard, and It was a white beard, as a matter of fact. So I hadn't really changed looks that much, but because my passport picture didn't match the picture that they took of me while I was standing there, I was whisked out of line and then put through another questioning thing. At least the guy was nice. And he took one look at me and said, yeah, nobody could be this ugly, and you're as ugly in the passport picture as you are in person, and he let me go. But, you know, I never experienced that, and I didn't. If I had known that growing a beard and a mustache were going to delay getting back into the States another 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I'd have shaved it off. It was no big. It was just my son and I together for a couple of weeks, and we decided to grow beards, you know? And so it made me look like a terrorist, obviously.
Well, this is laughable, honestly. I mean, you have all these cameras and everything up. If it really worked, why are people still getting mugged and carjacked, and they can't find the people, and people who are part of, you know, various terrorist organizations can put up videos that never come down? And all these things are supposed to protect you and your safety. Here we have Uber, who had their database hacked and all personal information, as usual, out in the wind somewhere. Where's the protection and the safety in all this encryption and, you know, all these hoops that you're jumping through? All you're doing, really, is giving your information voluntarily for them to create a pixel, not even a snapshot anymore, an absolute recreation of you, from your DNA to what you look like, to your healthcare information, to your financial information, to what you say on Facebook and other social media platforms, to get to know your mindset. This is not about your protection. It's about being able to manipulate you, knowing what you're going to do before you do, knowing how you think, or so they believe, knowing what you think before you do. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Nothing in society has gotten safer. Your personal information has never been protected. And all these things they're asking you to do are just metadata. You are providing voluntary data. Every time you go on Facebook and just put in a picture, you know, of somebody that you know or yourself, your children taking, selfies and loading it up on a cloud, you're just giving them more information about you. Is it really important to know, for people to know where you are and what you're doing at all times of the day? Is it really?
No.
Does that make you really feel good about yourself?
You know,
or are you just playing along with this?
When you go to the grocery store, and I won't mention names, but they print out, or they send them in the mail to you, here's a coupon for this, this, and this, because you normally buy it.
Yep.
To me, that's like somebody standing on my yard that I didn't invite. That's information that's private. I don't want everybody to know I eat Frosted Flakes or, you know, Fruit Loops. It's nobody else's business but mine. I'm getting sick and tired of all of it. And that's just the simple part of it. Like you said, we had a doctor in here the other day that HIPAA's about gone, and that was our protection as patients with our doctors. Mm-hmm. Would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. Electronic medical record system is the worst thing that's happened to patient care. It's not about efficiency. I still get home at 9 o'clock at night. I still, if someone sends me a patient, I don't even know why they're sending the patient, because there's no medical information that comes across. What does come across, though, is what medications the patient has ever been prescribed. That automatically populates in the patient's chart. Before I even see them, it's in there. Now, that's a problem. Suppose there's an error, or they were taking the medication for something else other than what it's usually prescribed for. That doesn't populate in the information bar. And that's not just me that's got that. That's everybody who's connected to the cloud or can hack into the cloud. So, I mean, this is not a system that actually is about providing health care. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you will be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. And let's talk about this telemedicine phenomenon that's going on. It's an explosion. I was on the plane, returning for the holidays and looking at the in-flight magazine, and there's there's pages and pages of all these Wall Street startups that are, they have this idea. It sounds just like the 80s when they had these ideas and then money would pour in and you'd have these weird, internet startup millionaires, but they never really did anything. It's kind of the same phenomenon happening with telemedicine. So this woman has an idea about something called blockchain. I'm not sure if people know what that is, but that means that there are nodes of information that are immovable, unchangeable. So you put your information into a database, and that database is fixed. Anybody can access that database within the blockchain, basically. So the hospital can access it. You can access it. You supposedly are supposed to give your permission for other people to access it. But it basically means your information is held on a supposedly encrypted cloud somewhere. And anybody who needs information can access it directly from that. That means you no longer have to fill out a chart, you no longer have to do the legwork to give the information to somebody at the point of service. They can do it without your, without your input. The question about it is, can they do it without your knowledge? I think they can. So her job was to create medical records, or her theory, create medical records, put them in a blockchain so that any hospital across the country could access them if you ended up in their ER or in their doctor's office, etc. That was the mindset with electronic medical records from the get-go. It just never happened. So all these electronic medical record system companies popped up, charging doctors $40,000, $50,000, whatever they were charging for use, but they never talked to each other. I've been through three different iterations of medical records. All I've had is the cost of changing my database or putting it into the new database. Now, I think I've said in the past, they tried to charge me $10,000 to upload my patient information from one medical record system or electronic medical system to another. A total ripoff and scam. You should actually be able to get that on some sort of hard drive, and that should be your patient information that you own. You actually don't even own that anymore. Once you upload in their system, they have it. You have to pay for the privilege of accessing it. They should legislate that out of existence. It's a complete scam. You're already paying monthly for them to house your data, for them to, keep you up and going. Why on earth do you have to pay if you need or want to leave their system? But that's, kind of another topic of information or a conversation. But this blockchain idea is all about this new internet, something called the Internet of Things. I think you've probably heard about that. 5G, this new supposed faster system is coming online. I don't want anything to do with 5G, Internet of Things, or anything, because that means that you're now putting your information and your everything about you in a system that somebody else potentially can manipulate that is going to be overseen by, you know, artificial intelligence. This is not a system that's going to be run by people. It's going to be run by things and digital currency, et cetera. I know for those Christians out there, that's a system that you have to have an ID in order to access. And you have to, you know, have a mark, so to speak. That's nothing that I'm interested in joining. And these blockchain systems or things that use blockchain, Bitcoin, are all part of that. And that's, again, another conversation for another show. I just wanted to give a taste or a hint of exactly what's going on. It's not all about trendy and cool. It's about how do we get people on a paperless, moneyless system that you have to be identified. And maybe that identity might be your DNA at some point. Who knows? Because it's all about security and making sure that you say you are who you are. This is all moving us towards, you know, a unique ID in order to buy and sell, in order to get medical services. This is potentially the end point of this. And if people aren't aware, awake and aware, they're going to have to do things that they may not ever thought they would have had to in order to be a citizen, you know, in any stretch of the imagination. Get a job, buy things, buy clothes, go to a doctor. I mean, it's kind of scary when you think about it, isn't it?
Has anybody come in and tried to pay you in the bit chain, whatever it's called?
No.
We had a show, a guy that's very involved in it and supposedly is doing quite well in buying and selling, whatever they do with the stupid stuff. And as I sat here, and you know I'm older than dirt, but I sat there and I said, well, I kept asking, what's backing this up? What's backing it up? It's not currency. It's not.
No.
It's hot
it's
air.
Not gold. Yeah.
You know, it's now I could see the government doing it, you know, because they're hot air anyway. They don't back up anything. But, you know, this guy kept sitting and he said, well, I can, you know, I can get a new set of tires for 800, whatever they call the things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a deck of cards that has to collapse, in my opinion. It's backed by absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, so is our currency. It's not backed by gold.
No.
So it's backed by, it's all digital. And that means you can erase and create wealth with a keystroke. It's kind of scary, actually, when you think about it. I'd rather have something tangible. I'd rather barter with somebody, a service for a service, something that's of value that we both know and that we both are creating the value for ourselves, not somebody making up something. And the Bitcoin phenomenon, now it's worth $10,000, I think, is something. It's gone up dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically worthless before. So I'm not a big fan of just because everybody's doing it, you do it too. Never have been. And my parents are very clear about that. Just because everybody's doing it, that doesn't mean you need to do it too. And I think people need to think about that.
And yet that's...
Individually, if it works for you, I have no problem with it, but... Just because somebody else does it and you don't think about it, that's where I get into question marks about people's motivation. Trendy is not good. Trendy usually gets people into trouble.
And it's in my opinion, again, it's sort of a pyramid type thing in a way, in that if you're at the bottom of the pyramid, you're close to dirt. And if you were in it at the beginning, well, you've got fresh air you're breathing. So... Where do you want to be in this hole? You won't be seeing me offering you bitcoins anytime soon, that's for sure.
No, I agree. I mean, ultimately, hold on one second. If the banks are involved with it and want it, then you know it's got to be a joke, right? I think, what's the name of the bank? I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Chase Manhattan. They're actually getting involved with Bitcoin. And if that's a problem, or if they're into it, then I have a question mark about it. They don't do anything that's not self-serving. You know, the whole thing is just, it was draw your consent. if we're the ones that's propping up all of these things by our purchases, by our habits, we are actually just doing the bidding of a bigger picture. And ultimately, we have a few things that we can control. One is what we put into our mouth. What is what we consume in terms of what we read and what we watch? And if we, these two things are empowering the system to work against us. I just ask people to think twice about what they're doing. Is it positive? Do you feel good about it? Is it, you know, making you more financially or emotionally secure? And if none of those things are happening, you need to take a step back and think about it.
The key word there is think.
Mm.
Are people really going to think? No, I don't.
I mean, I hope they are. A lot of things are not as straightforward as they used to be. Congress is a perfect example. I think most people who are paying any attention to this, whether they're on the left side or the right side, must be asking questions about who is representing them up in Congress. What is going on up there? You know, why are they not doing the business of the people? They're so busy running their own fiefdoms, you know, being overlords to the people that work for them, voting in ways that are completely counter to what is in the best interest of their people that they're supposedly representing. I think a lot of people are now questioning that. I certainly am. If people are spending taxpayer money to hide their indiscretions, they should be removed, if not arrested, for fraud. Hopefully that's going to be a conversation that people start having at some point.
I would certainly like to see it happen.
I would, too.
But whether it does or not may be a entirely different thing. I have a hard time, and I guess, again, maybe it's age, maybe it's just my mentality, but I have a hard time accepting anything today at face value. And walking through airports, I couldn't imagine as a kid. I might have liked it as a kid, but I can't imagine as a kid ever walking through any place that you would see men standing there, either police or military, with machine guns. And this is for your safety? And it's like we're being pulled in, you know, like I said earlier, if the government controls your health, they control everything else about you. And it's going to get to the point, I think, that you'll be denied access to entering the United States because of health, like it used to be many, many years ago. But at the same time, it'll be even a different form of it. The whole thing is just, who are these people that we've elected to control our tomorrows?
Well, you have a bunch of people who are getting their money from corporate interests. It's all about, I mean, I was told basically, it's all about the next election and positioning yourself with enough campaign war chest to run a campaign. That's what they do. And it's the pages and the aides that are actually writing the legislation. And they have these front people, these Congress people, who basically try to go out and sell it. They don't even read the stuff, Dave. You know, it's all about positioning and one-upping. And it's a complete joke. I mean, of a majority of the Congress people up there are committing some sort of fraud in some way. And I say that, you know, not tongue-in-cheek. I'm serious. Either they are run by lobbyists, and they're literally just crafting legislation because they're in the ear of these people, or they have their ear, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's all sorts of things that have come out about how they've run their campaigns, committing fraud. We know that they've a whole treasure trove of impropriety up there. Remember the page scandal back, I guess, in the 90s with the pages being, you know, assaulted by various Congress people.
Oh, yeah.
And they shut down the page system. Well, that now, I guess, moved to their aides and the people who come up there. If I had a child, there's no way on earth I would want them working for any congressman. woman, anybody up there. I mean, these are 18, 19, 20-year-olds, you know, people who are really going up there with good intentions, and they come out, if they do come out damaged, this is the tip of the iceberg. I'm convinced there's going to be plenty more people coming out of the woodwork on both sides, because it's all about power and people who want to access that power and putting themselves at the mercy of people who promise them things. This is how Hollywood works. This is how Congress works. This is how politics, any position, I don't care if it's big business, healthcare, it's the same principle, isn't it? You want something that someone else has, and they have ultimate power over you because of your desire to access a system. And you're at their mercy. If they're decent people, great. But how many of those people will, you know, take their pound of flesh to supposedly give you what you think you want? That's a problem. The whole system needs to be cleaned out.
And unfortunately, actually, we need to take a break, I guess, come to think of it. You're listening to Medicine on Call. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Dr. George right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, the show is not designed to make you feel like you're powerless. It's actually the opposite. Knowledge is power. And knowing that the system has been, the healthcare system had its problems before all this stuff happened. But this is a whole other level because you've actually had an insertion of Wall Street, of banking, of all sorts of outside players into the last, in their mindset, gravy train that is out there. What Obamacare did is put the government muscle and money behind the healthcare system in earnest. And then it outsourced various parts of the healthcare delivery system to corporate interest. It's really sick. While they had the audacity to tell us by doing that, it was going to make it accessible and cheap for everybody, when in actuality it's done the absolute opposite. It's disrupted the delivery of health care. You have doctors leaving. You have the training of physicians change so that they don't even think about the patient as an individual anymore. It's a cost center. It's a cost. If you've lived a good life, you should unplug because it's not worth the good of the many outweighing the needs of the few. These are the mindsets now. Hippocratic oath changing or not even being, you know, given in certain medical schools. That's what makes us different than any other professional. That are we take an oath to have the goods of the good of the patient outweigh our good or our need as physicians. That's really, really, really important. We can't take money from a patient over an excess of what our value is. We can't gouge people. We can't sleep with patients. We can't commit, you know, or help people commit suicide. We know all the fiduciary responsibility is to the patient, not to ourselves. These are different codes of ethics than a lot of other professionals, let's face it. And they've systematically removed that or damaged it or somehow taught us or beginning to teach doctors that what you want to do for your patient is counter to the good of the system, which is completely ridiculous. Our whole purpose as physicians is to be the advocate for the patient. And they're trying to tell us that our fiduciary responsibility is to a system that's about cost control, about, you know, equality of access. What does that even mean? If someone's homeless, they need a CT scan, they should get it. Period. That's how it used to be. Those people now are, first they were shipped off to different hospitals. You know, there was a lot of, you know, revolving door kind of medicine that was practiced to people without money. Now the same thing's happening, but it's not just the indigent. It's people who are working class. People are middle class. Anybody with an insurance card are getting the same standard of care as someone who potentially has no means. But they're putting this in a position where if you have health insurance, then you have access. But in actuality, it's not true because you can't afford it. You can't afford the deductibles. Or even if you have a deductible, they're denying you after the fact because it's experimental or not necessary. Which part of this game don't people get? Putting people on TV screaming for health care as if it's the end-all, be-all, you know, it's window dressing. It's kabuki theater. These people don't even know what they're asking for. And they, if they looked at the system, they wouldn't be happy with what they were screaming about. It's our position and our job as physicians now to actually educate people, to let them know it's cheaper to actually see a physician that's independent than it is to go to a doctor who's employed by a hospital. It's cheaper to, and I say it every week, please start paying attention if you haven't. It's cheaper to go to a direct primary care doctor who owns their lab, who has radiology available services in their office. You know, you need a chest x-ray, so we even have a CT scan. Keeping it all in-house, where the prices are transparent, far outweighs and is far superior to this black box that people go into. They don't know what the cost is until they had the service done. They don't know what a facility fee is until they get socked with it. They are now, the ERs have become cash cows where they don't even treat you unless you have a heart attack or stroke. Anything less than that, you're going to be, you know, treated as an outpatient, given an appointment for a clinic, or basically even thrown out, go see your own private doctor without an appointment. This is what's going on. They charge you $300 or $400, maybe more, for them looking at you. You know, this is not healthcare. This is what people want to pay for. I don't. And the only way that we break this system is not Congress. I can't say it enough. It's us. Do your due diligence. If you listen to my show, you should know that there's plenty of resources. Association of Independent Doctors, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. You've got, Surgery Center of Oklahoma. You've got Patient Physicians Partnership. It's on Facebook. Everybody's got, there's so many different aspects of doctors now that have now woken up, awakened, and are now providing access and information. There's no reason to fall through a crack anymore. Even if you have health insurance and you can't afford it, you can do supplemental policies like Aflac. I mean, I can't tell you all these, you know, Liberty Health Share or MediShare or MediBid or Samaritan. I mean, there's all these things that you can access that is going to give you access to health care without you having to run this gauntlet, without having to give up your private information, without having to pay for getting nothing except screwed. It's not worth it, guys. There's another way. Thank goodness the executive order has already been written and signed that you cannot be dinged for not carrying health insurance. That was signed, what, in February, February, March. It's a long time now. So we were in the middle of, open enrollment for Obamacare or whatever nonsense they want to try to pull on us now. I think the average increase in the premium is 113%. Good luck paying an $800, $900, $2,000 premium and then having another $7,500 on top of that. Or do you want to pay $199 a month, $450 for a family, with a total of $500 out-of-pocket per individual to get quality health care anywhere in the country? It's kind of a no-brainer when you think about that. LibertyOnCall.org, one avenue. You know, if you go to, let me give you some telephone numbers, some actual information that you can actually use. AID has a whole section of doctors, as well as AAPSonline.org, of doctors who barter, doctors who take fee-for-service, who have direct primary care practices. Every state now has many doctors in different specialties that you can actually access. I actually ran into a colleague the other day who said, I'd rather pay for my doctor appointments up front. Just tell me what the cost is. Let me just pay it because I don't want to access my deductible. And then I want to be, you know, if I have something horrible, then I want to access it. So people are actually using the system appropriately. And they're finding that they're paying a fraction of what they're getting dinged for by doing it the way everybody wants you to do it, which is to spend as much money as possible and don't access the system because it's too expensive or too hard or you just get denied. Until we make take our power back in that, it really won't change, honestly. You know, I can't preach it enough. I feel like I'm a
You're doing fantastic.
Evangelist on this.
If you get one person that's listening and they make the decision to check out what Dr. George is saying, go to our website and click on Liberty on Call. You know, you'll find out. It's that easy.
It's true. It really is.
With that being said, though, we're out of time.
Oh, well, it's you know, time flies when you're having fun. but let me give you one last number. If people call 404-427-8009, that's one person that you can talk to about Aflac who can give you all of the information about dental, eye, medical, surgical for like $30 a month. But that's not a lot of money for most people. You can actually get some serious coverage and peace of mind. And on that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Have a wonderful week, and I will be back soon.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.